The October Administration Committee meeting took order. I'll ask Robin if she can lead us in the pledge.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Join the meeting.
Need a motion to approve the minutes from the September 8 meeting?
So moved.
Motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any grievances, Nate? We are up.
Good morning.
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 I don't know, do we have Brooks on there?
I'm here, Nate, yes. Good morning, folks.
Morning.
Brooks, I'm going to let you explain this one.
Thanks, Nate, that's kind of you. This one is an application to increase the salary of a part-time ADA, Thomas Bowes. You recall, we just filled this position. This is the one that we had a contract with Schuyler County to pay for. Originally, then they backed out of the contract because they needed the body for 245 discovery reasons. When we hired Tom Bowes, we got lucky. He's a very experienced ADA. He's been an ADA in Chemung County.
Join the meeting.
He was here in Steuben County for a while. He was also in Public Defender's Office. When he left the Public Defender's Office about a year ago, just over a year ago, I believe, Nate, his salary was $41,500. I set his salary pursuant to the administrative code at half of the mid-grade number, which pays him like $35,000, something like that. What I'm asking to do is increase his salary to what it was when he was in the public defender's office doing essentially the mirror job to this one, and making it so that he's being paid what he was being paid for similar work in another county department. It's already been through PS&C and passed, so that's the application here today to increase his salary to $41,500.
I'll move it.
Got a motion? Is there a second?
How much is he being paid now?
I think right around $35,000. I'm not positive, Nate. Is that right? It's half of whatever mid-grade.
It's $36,400 right now.
About a $5,000 increase.
And that's exactly what he was being paid a year ago in the public defender's office when he left.
So we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it just for discussion purposes.
Got a second. Any other questions for Brooks? Or
yeah, my question is why the increase? Are we just trying to get back parity to what he was in the public defender's, or has he done exemplary work above and beyond what the 36-4 would compensate him for?
Well, I had intended to hire him back at what the public defender was paying him. He is very good at what he does. He's got more than 10 years experience, I think closer to 15 years total experience in the DA's office. He was a full-time ADA in Chemung. He was very good for us here as an ADA. He did a good job as a public defender as well. He left briefly to forward his private practice and then was willing to come back to us, and we were very lucky that he was willing to come back. It's very hard to find folks, and the only request I had was to pay him what he was making when he left. The job that he had in the public defender's office is essentially the exact mirror job. He has the same responsibilities there as he did here as far as court coverage and other stuff, although here he also covers some cap. This is a position that did not receive the cap stipend, so he's got cap coverage above and beyond what he had when he had this job, I think about 6 years, maybe about 5 years ago. So that's why I'm looking to increase it. And I think one of the pushes we have discussed here is there shouldn't be a disparity between different departments, and there's obviously a market disparity between what he made as a public defender and what he makes as an ADA.
Brooks, how does that compare with the other part-time ADA salaries?
He'll make a little bit less than just about everybody else. he makes, obviously, he'll make $5,000 less than the two part-time ADAs who do cap work. He'll make less than than the other ADA who does all the appeals work, and he'll make a little bit less than Peter Glanville, who does not do cap work, but covers courts. So basically, he's coming at the low end of the ADA scale.
May I ask, what was he told for a salary when he was hired?
I told him I would match the public defender salary he was making when he left. So he was going to go back a year with no, you know, obviously no increase from what he was making, but he'd make with
join the meeting.
And I thought I could do that until I reviewed the administrative code and realized that even though the number is below mid-grade, it's a halftime. So after discussion with Nate, I set the salary at half of what the mid-grade was and then determined to make the application in front of legislature.
How can you guarantee a salary that you don't set?
I could not guarantee the salary. I indicated that's what I would attempt to get. And I thought that felt like it was fair because that's what he made for doing the same job in the public defender's office.
It's okay.
You got it.
So you want to explain that again to me, Brooks, what you told him and what are you asking?
What I told him is I would attempt to get him the salary he was making in the public defender's office. That's what we discussed when he came back. After that, I realized that I could not unilaterally do that because I reviewed the management salary plan and had a conversation with Nate about that. So I set his salary and told him that I would make application to legislature to bring his salary back to what he was making a year ago when he left the public defender's office. So that's the application I'm making. I've made it to PS&C and apparently I need to make it here too, and that's the application I'm making.
Yeah, you folks are the ones to appoint over the step five in the management salary plan, the new one that you, with the steps that you approved last year. And the process is Nate reviews based on years of experience and ensures that, you know, it is in line with years of experience. And in this case, it appears to be yes.
It is in line.
Yes.
All right. Anything else from anyone? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Join the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Brooks.
Okay. Next, I wanted to talk to you folks about the retirement incentive a little bit. We actually had a very good response to it. I believe it was 42 people that we got to take it. So, you know, as good or better than we had hoped. However, we ran into a situation with at least one employee, maybe a couple, that either didn't quite qualify under the wire or were otherwise indisposed during the filing period. And I won't get to that in a public forum, but I'd like to ask you folks to actually open it back up for a couple weeks to potentially catch a couple of those people. And what I'd like to do, obviously, this would have to go to the full board. So I'd like to do it from the date of the full board meeting through November 6th, which gives another 2-week window for them to sign up. You know, certainly I can't guarantee that we get a bunch, but it looks like there might at least be a couple to a few that, you know, we could include in that retirement incentive if we did that.
And so the examples, so one of the potentials would miss the date that they actually have to retire by like 2 days. And then another was legitimately not available to file the paperwork and intended to do so. They were very legitimately not available to do so.
Any legal problems?
I think we did this actually. We had a couple stragglers when we did this in 2010, kind of the same situation, and brought it back and opened up that window just for a little bit.
So,
second. A motion to extend till November 6th.
Will there be any complications from the people that we already made meet the original deadline? There won't be any kickback or anything from them?
Maybe a couple would complain, but I wouldn't see any major issues at all because they still get the same benefit. You know, we're not changing anything. It's just there were a couple people with pretty legitimate reasons, very legitimate reasons, why from a timing issue. So,
plus the reason we had a very small window of opportunity was intentional, right, to try to get everyone in and committed before the state, if they ever did anything. So I don't think it hurts to open it up if we can pick up a couple more, especially for someone if they miss it by a couple of days. That would be a shame.
Yeah, and Jack's correct. In 2010, we did open it back up for another couple of weeks, and it worked. I mean, I don't think we got a blistering amount, but we did pick up a few more. So
that's what it's for.
Exactly.
So we got a motion to second. Anything else? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nate.
Do we have any report on cost savings or anything?
So that's when we get into your budget, we're going to, like we always do with finance, have another budget meeting after this.
Right.
So the salaries that you see in your budget don't reflect any of the reductions we'd make based on the early retirement incentive, just because we really were finalizing them last week.
Yeah.
So I would say, whenever you want to have another session, we'd bring that to you, but
okay,
we will absolutely save. We'll be able to, this will significantly help us get to where we need to be for the budget.
All right, that answers one of my colored tab questions that I had.
So. Mine too.
Well, and this is
remove one.
Throw that one away.
With getting 42, I mean, we were conservatively hoping for over 20. So, with Jack and Chris's calculations, especially on the budget, that's kind of where we were hoping for. So with getting over 40, it should be a pretty good savings.
There's a large number that, like we talked, that we'll have to replace based on their work function, but there are reductions down the line that we can make. So we're working through all of that with the departments last week, this week, and then, so for when you folks have your, following up budget session, we'll have all of those details for you.
All right.
Any positions that we will have to recruit for?
Yes. A few. There's a few highly specialized positions that will be more difficult. Not that any position nowadays is easy to fill based on lag and civil service tests, mm-hmm, from the state and some other things, but there's going to be a few that are more difficult, that are more specialized. Probably, I would say, 3 or 4 off the top of my head.
Thanks, Nate.
Good morning. My favorite topic, retirement reporting. I have 3 more individuals that we need to report for this month, all from the Public Defender's Office. So I just need authorization to submit them so we can do a resolution.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
And as far as people that are required to report, have they all done it on time or?
I'm still missing Peter Glanville's report from the DA's office. He was supposed to report back in June. I have 2 more newly hired individuals that are upcoming, James Ferratella from the Conflict Defender's Office and Tom Bose from the DA's office. They should be reporting to me by the end of November for presentation in December.
Brooks, you're still on. Can you help us with the Glanville one that's past due?
I will certainly try. I'll call Peter in the office and have yet another conversation with him. Is there a sanction that can be imposed for his failure that I need to, that I can reinforce with him or actually employ, Brenda?
According to the code, the sanction is they do not get a raise if one is offered. So,
okay, I will. I think I informed him of that previously because we've been through this.
I actually sent him an email. I copied him in on an email I sent to Nate and Jack regarding that. So,
all right, I will report. And if he fails to report, it becomes his problem, and he just not reported for the year, and he's got to fix it. Correct.
Correct. The state retirement system will simply discontinue his benefits and until he complies.
Well, you would think those 2 things would be impetus enough, but I'll talk to him again. Thank you, Brenda. I'm sorry.
You would think so. All right. Thanks.
Next up, we got Matt from planning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I don't know if all of you have been aware, but the federal judge extended the census enumeration efforts through the end of October. Originally, it was being planned to end on 9/30. So we had contracts in place that I brought before this committee in August. And those contracts specified a completion date of 9/30. But with the federal judge's extension, just asking to extend those contracts for a completion date of 10/31.
So moved. Second.
Any questions?
Does this raise our cost with these contracts?
Nope. The only difference, the same amount of funding, it just we're allowed to expend funds through the end of October instead of September.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Do anything other than Gary's?
No.
So Gary Roush had asked to have an item on the agenda today regarding legislator benefits. Gary, do you want to open things up?
Does everybody have a copy of it?
Yep. Okay, thank you. As you know, we're offering early retirement for people, and it looks like more than twice as many people as we expected are going to take it. Also, I was talking to a friend of mine recently, I've known for over 30 years, and I asked her how she was doing, and she said that that her husband lost his job, been working for this company for many years, and they are going out of business because of the pandemic. Also, their 21-year-old son has moved back home because he lost his job in July, and he cannot find a job. Her husband, who's 58 years old, cannot find a job, and he's getting kind of hopeless. These are people who've never experienced unemployment before. So as their newly acquired unemployment expires and the federal stimulus goes away after the election's over, they're really feeling down and it's kind of hopeless out there. I think we're going to see a whole lot more of this. These are people who've never been unemployed that are being affected by the pandemic. So what I'm proposing is that what would be, I believe, appropriate for the legislature to demonstrate to the public and to our employees that we have skin in the game is that I think we should go to 100% copay for health insurance. I was just going through this morning. I realized that the 14% copay, which is what's budgeted for next year, 2021, is $3,124. That's less than the copay I pay for Medicare. And that's Medicare that I paid in my whole working life. So what we're providing to ourselves is a very, very nice benefit. The benefit is actually the insurance and to have access to that. If you're self-employed, you have to pay for 100% of the cost of any insurance that you get. And insurance like this is difficult, if not impossible, to find elsewhere. So it's a wonderful benefit. And I'm okay with legislators having that benefit, but I think that we should pay the full freight. So I was also shocked when I added up the numbers. And if we go to 100% copay, the savings is $280,000 a year. It's over $250,000 in insurance payments that our taxpayers are paying for us to get what's really a full-time employee benefit. So I think it's time that we bite the bullet and go to 100% copay. The city of Corning and the town of Irvine's already done this years ago, and it's worked out well for them. So I think it's time for us to set the example for the county and maybe even the whole state and do the right thing and try to help our communities, which are really hurting.
Anybody with comments?
I'm sorry, you say that again, please?
No, I asked if anybody else had any comments about your proposal. Thank you.
Well, I'll just say, I think the inequities have been there for a number of years. I think it's difficult to yank the benefit away without some kind of compensation for the ones that aren't taking it. But I just think it's difficult to take the full amount away from especially families. So I would like to just ask if there's some compromise that we can do without hurting the family and the single person, and sort of compensate the ones that don't take insurance.
Yeah.
I'd just like to make a comment that I personally don't take the health insurance, but I'm not in favor of taking it away at all. And the reason is people apply for jobs, they run for jobs based on benefits that they get. How many part-time people do we have in the VA's office, public defender's office, any of those that are actually working for the county just for the insurance? I mean, we have a well-rounded group of people here from all different aspects. You know, myself, self-employed, attorneys, retired, accountants now. I'd hate to see us lose any of them because they run for the job, you know, for insurance. I mean, it's you choose a job at a factory for certain things. You choose a job working at the county. Our truck drivers, for instance, they make less money than they would make out on the road, but they get a great benefits package. It is what it is. You know, I mean, and I saw the emails getting passed around that Scott, you know, wanted to put a stop to, but it's like, you know, there's certain people that just run for jobs. I'm like myself, I'm not retired. I run for this job for a certain reason, but somebody may have run for it for insurance and helping their constituents. So just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I think we did. When we all ran for office, the benefit package was in place. And whether you're going to take it or not, that was your personal decision. But that was part of the benefit package that we signed up for when we ran for office.
Yeah, and you and I have been on here for 13 years now. And I didn't take insurance all the while that I worked for Corning, but now I do. But in 2011, I had asked Brenda for the dates. In 2011, Joe and I pushed to increase the copay.
Right.
Because we recognized that this was a very good benefit to have for legislators, but that we weren't all full-time and we should show the employees of the county that we're willing to pay more for it. So we did a 5% increment between 2012 and 2015 to get us up to 30% copay. That's double of what a full-time employee was paying, or even the part-time attorneys or whatever in the DA's or public defender's office. And I thought that 30% was a very fair representation, that we're willing to pay more for what we are getting. This plan of Gary's is a nuclear option as far as I'm concerned. It would basically drive away anybody with any talent or good background and experience to ever be interested in being a legislator. And for the people that keep trying recklessly to equalize the inequities in employees, that entire building is filled with them. All right, you could have a clerk sitting in one cubicle who is getting more in total pay and compensation than the clerk sitting next to him because they have a different insurance. That happens. That's part of business. So to waste time trying to equalize everything in our little group, I think it just isn't helpful. I didn't like the idea that we got away from the 30% last year, but that was the majority of the board at the time that decided on that. But this plan of Gary's is just, it's irresponsible.
Well, I think we have to recall, I think the way this all came about was when Joe was leaving, he suggested that the chairman should have an increase in pay and the vice chairman. And then that kind of bled over into, well, what about us getting some sort of an increase in pay in some fashion?
Mm-hmm.
But now I think it's snowballed to the point where, you know, Gary wants somebody who has a family plan to, in essence, pay the county $10,000 to work as a
to come to work. Yeah.
which I think you're right, it's new.
Mr. Chairman.
Gary.
Sorry to bring this up, but point of order, we do not have a first and a second.
Well, there's not been a motion. We're just discussing it. It's an item for discussion, as far as I'm concerned.
He presented it as a resolution.
I don't believe it's been presented as a resolution.
And I have a legal opinion on that.
I do not believe it was presented for a resolution. I think it was a discussion for your budget.
Fine. Thank you for clarification.
Hilda?
So I agree with everyone who's already spoken, but I'll use the city of Corning as an example. People stayed on that board because of the insurance. Yes, it's a great, we have a lot of talent, et cetera, but to say you want to be a legislator because of the insurance, in my opinion, is wrong. You want to do it because you want to be a public servant. The insurance is a great idea. We can do it in a stepped format, just like we did with Corning. We did not just cut it off. We increased their salary a little bit, and then we took away the insurance in a stepped format. I just agree that we can set a good example by doing this. I don't take the insurance. And yes, you're right, I don't, but I don't think that's the reason for coming onto the board. We get paid, let's do something to be equitable as much as we can. We know we're never gonna be equitable with everybody, but I think this sets a good example. And now's the time, the budget's the way they are.
Kelly?
Yes, I wanna say that in this proposal, we're trying to make it equitable when in reality it's somewhat discriminatory because of the fact that I come on board or some of the other legislators come on board and we have families. Right. And I don't think that that's a good position to take in the eyes of our employees. And the benefits do attract people. And we can say what we want, that you don't want someone here simply for the insurance. But I answer to my constituents for the amount of work that I put in and for the compensation that I get. And I work really hard at it, and I value what I get, and I value myself, and I value my work. I think that the proposal, if you're looking at this, you have to look at, there is inequality in every single department. Just like Scott said, you can have two people doing the exact same job, and because one person decided to start a family, their compensation immediately goes up. And that is business, and that is life. We want to keep everybody here. We want to keep them happy, but you cannot equalize that. We have a self-insured health insurance plan. So the numbers, the insurance premiums, they're an equivalent. It may not necessarily cost the county exactly this dollar amount, and that is where we are fortunate enough to be able to offer it because of our self-insured plan and the way we manage things. And I think that we have made steps over the last several years to go out of our way to compensate good people, whether it be through analyzing the compensation steps, whether it be analyzing the benefits that we offer. And I don't think that changing the way we benefit or we compensate ourselves, you set the tone at the top. And if we set that tone where we don't value people that have families at the top, how long does it take before that trickles down to the bottom? So I agree. This is not the way to make things work, and you cannot remove all of the inequality.
Aaron?
Yeah, thanks. I was just going to say that, you know, we just went through this last year, and what we talked about was tying it to the county's policy generally. And if it's, you know, if it's something that's a good policy for the rest of the people who work for the county, I don't understand why it's not a good policy for us. I don't think that the argument that if we cut our insurance or our pay or anything else, that anybody else is going to be happy to follow or want to follow or think it's a good idea to follow is a good argument. So they're not going to, it didn't change when we changed the insurance before. And one of the reasons why we arrived back at this point last year was because the legislators' compensation hadn't changed in about a decade. We received essentially less money from not having a copay, or from our copays going up without, we received less money without having the pay increase like, you know, other people in the county had. So, you know, I guess I'm wondering if this is going to come back up every year, or what the plan is on how.
I think even if you were to entertain this application, I think it would have to take effect after the next election cycle. Fair.
Yeah.
If it could be fair.
Rather, yeah, I agree with that. That people have to know what they're buying
when they're getting,
before they get in.
Right.
Even state legislators put themselves raises, but they don't get it until after they get reelected. So it has to be after your term. I think there is room for compromise on this, if that's the wish. But I really don't believe any legislator runs for this job because of the compensation. And like myself, always wanted to be in public service. Yes, I have the luxury of having made a life choice 40 years ago that I had a defined benefit plan, and I get a pension and I get health insurance. So I don't need to take the counties. I don't think anybody comes into this job based upon whether or not, ooh, I'm going to get a family policy or a single policy. I just don't think fiddling with this or having this discussion every single year solves the issue. And there are going to be inequities, and I don't begrudge it to anyone else who might not have access to it. It's all part of, again, life choices.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I agree with Robin. I'd be shocked if anybody looked up what the benefits were before they ran for this job. I mean, I just don't see that with anyone here.
But I guarantee you that if this change went in place, people would know that and decide not to run.
Right.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that, Scott. Right. I'm just saying I don't think people actually run with this position.
Yep.
Based on benefits.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? I guess we'll close the discussion for today. Thanks, Gary.
You're welcome.
I think that's it for open session.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
So we need a motion to go into executive session for personnel matter.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And everybody but legislators goes.
Yeah, we have another personnel matter. Just for discussion. You want to do that first? Just one personnel matter first. Is that okay?
I didn't hear you.
One personnel matter first.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to turn the volume up a little. It's somehow or another.
I'm probably just mumbling.
That's all right.
Ours will be pretty quick.
I put that in there this morning so I could get back in here.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, it's still locked. I don't have a key to that one. So just real quick.